الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم على محمد عبدك ورسولك طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفن بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أفغير دين الله يبغون وله أسلم من في السماوات والأرض طوعا وكرها وإليه يرجعون. وقال تعالى: إن الدين عند الله الإسلام. وقال تعالى: ومن يبتغي غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل منه وهو في الآخرة من الخاسرين. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of my Honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamullah to use him, Hazrat says that before every bayan, make muzakra, discuss one sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can become alive in the ummah again. In the Hadith Sharif, we are taught, من أحيا سنتي عند فساد أمتي فله بها أجر مئة شهيد، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. A person who will revive one of my sunnats at the time of fitna and fasad, corruption in the ummah, when people are far from deen, he will get the reward of 100 shaheeds for reviving a sunnat. So we should make our utmost effort in our lives, in our homes, every day try and revive a sunnat. Every week there are many kitabs that are written on the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even in the English language. Let us try and acquire one of these kitabs, read it in our homes, read one sunnat, repeat it every day for a week. Everyone will learn it by that. Everyone, inshallah, will be encouraged to practice. And in this way, let us try and bring one sunnat alive on a regular basis in our lives. At this moment, one sunnat that comes to my mind, just to discuss it, and hopefully it comes in our lives, that it comes in the Hadith Sharif, which is narrated by Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, that when a person leaves his home in the morning and he reads these three du'as, which are very simple, we all know them, and we just have to put them in that order. The du'a is Bismillah. Every Muslim knows Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah, that I put my full trust on Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Everyone knows that. This is a simple dua. Bismillah, تَوَكَّلْتُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. There is a dua that we are supposed to read. But what happens? It comes in that Hadith Sharif. Immediately, one of the angels, one of the malaika, is deputed there to us. And he in turn gives us three duas. We made three duas, and a farishta, an angel, gives us three du'as. What are the three du'as? The first du'a that he gives, Wuqita. You have got your protection for the day. Today's security is a major issue. First on the agenda everywhere. Today when we step out, our children, we don't know if they will return safely. Our husband goes out, we don't know if he's going to return safely. But, and we have tried all our security measures, and the more we have done security, the more we see we are failing. The more insecure lives are becoming. Now, all the advertisements are that get this alarm system, get that security system, and have peace of mind. But the more this is becoming, the more peace of mind is going. Nobody is having peace of mind. The real system, the system of Allah Ta'ala, Allah's security, we haven't opted for that. We are paying so much for other security systems, and many of them, they themselves do the inside job. They know all our details, what time we're coming, what time we're going, who's in the house, who's not in the house. They know everything. If we make our security with Allah Ta'ala, and this angel gives us this dua, that wuqita, you've got your protection of the day. Who can touch you? Who can harm you? Once he has given you that dua, and now you're in the protection of Allah Ta'ala. The second dua he gives you is that kufita. You have left your home because of your necessities. May all your needs be fulfilled. Hey, a person, because of his necessities, he leaves his home. The farishta, the angel, gives you the dua, kufita, may all your needs be fulfilled. And the third dua he gives you, hudita. Your hidayat for the day is guaranteed. Today, more important it should be to us than our security, than our needs being fulfilled, our hidayat. It comes in a hadith sharif. I don't know if we are in those times already, that a time will come, a person will wake up in the morning as a mu'min. When he goes and sleep at night, he will sleep as a kafir. He'll have lost his iman. A person will, at night time, he will be a mu'min. In the morning, he will have lost his iman. He will be a kafir. And if the farishta, the angel, gives you the dua, your hidayat is guaranteed for the day. You are quite in order. Our young daughters, girls, boys, going to university, the influences that they are being faced with all the time. And without us realizing, if a person doesn't go to schools, he saves himself from that influence. He doesn't watch TV, he doesn't keep a TV, he doesn't get newspapers. But the huge, huge billboards that are there, how are you going to save yourselves from there? And it's not just an advert, there is much more behind the advert. Just for example, you see an advert where they're advertising a cold drink, for example, Spalletta, any cold drink, and a huge billboard. What do you see there? The Spalletta is written small. But what is big there? There is a hammock with a girl lying on the hammock, and there is a 4x4 standing near. And this is by the beach. So, and what they're advertising? Spalletta. That Spalletta bottle is very small. But this whole advert, what is actually? That whole culture and that whole lifestyle they're advertising. When your daughter sees that all the time, she wants to be also lying on a hammock like that. Dressed like that girl, is almost naked, lying on that hammock. So she desires, she wants her hairstyle to be like that. When your wife sees that, she wants to be like that. And one of the main principles of advertising is repetition. It comes for a short while, but repeated. And what you are being told all the time, any propaganda, today it is worldwide accepted, that speaks so much of a lie, people will accept it as the truth. Just keep on repeating that lie all the time. The people are going to accept it as a fact, as a truth, as a fact of life. Today, many things which are passed off as scientific research, these are all just propaganda. But it's being repeated and in different forms. One person will put it in a magazine, it will be discussed on the radio, it will come in the newspaper, it becomes social talk, people accept it. And whereas there is absolutely no reality of that. And there are so many things. 9/11, what is the reality? But it's spoken so much, everyone is accepting a different story of what the actual fact is. So this is their system. So that advert that comes all the time, you drive past it one place, in front again you see it, again you see it. Or if you are watching TV, it's coming. So the man then, he wants his wife to dress like that. If he's not a pious person, he'll make his wife openly dress like that. If he's a pious person, he'll make her still dress, but in privacy. In the privacy of the bedroom, he'll make his wife dress like that and make himself happy. So this is that it's not just an advert. There is much more. It's a whole culture. And to live like that, you have to have that whole culture. Then you have to start making effort to buy a 4x4 and then go for a holiday and then be on the beach. So it's not Spalletta that is being advertised. That's just an excuse. But we don't know a whole culture. So therefore, hidayat is very, very important. We don't know where in the Quran Sharif Allah Ta'ala says that you lose your iman, wahum la yash'urun. You're not even aware your iman is gone. Hey, if you have your safe in your house, wherever, and somebody has stolen it, and you don't even know your safe is gone. After 2 weeks, you thought, let me go and check up, you see, forget your money, you see there's no safe left also. So iman, we might not even be aware, but our iman is snatched away. So when we get this dua of the angel, hudita, your hidayat is done for the day. What a great guarantee we have got. And from our side, what did we have to do? Only three very simple duas. What are the duas again? Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All that, teach it to all our children. Teach it to our human folk. Whenever anyone leaves the house, read this dua and leave the house. It is a dua also. And it is following the sunnah also. It is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala also. And the farishta, the angel, is in turn giving us three duas. And the angel's duas, they are mustajabud da'wah. The duas are all 100% accepted. We made three very simple duas, and they gave us three very great duas in return. They gave us the dua, first one, wuqita, your protection, security for the day is guaranteed. The second one, kufita, all your needs will be fulfilled for the day. And the third one, hudita, your hidayat is arranged for the day. Your iman will be protected, your amal will be protected for the day. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, and just see how valuable sunnats are. This is one sunnat we'll be practicing upon, but how valuable, isn't it? How much of benefit? And this is just some of the benefits now that we have mentioned, but the full benefits, nobody can imagine what are the full benefits which are in one sunnah. And these are our material gains. But by actual sunnah, we gain the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then by that we gain the closeness of Allah Ta'ala. We will become the beloved of Allah when we will practice on the sunnah and the ways of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us try daily, on a daily basis, to try and acquire one sunnah. Bring it in our homes and we'll see the great difference that comes in our lives. The ayat of the Quran, the few ayats of the Quran Sharif I've recited, on which I intend basing my talk, I'll first just translate them and then we'll just discuss them and analyze them. Allah Ta'ala says in the first ayat, أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. What? Do the people want another way of life besides Islam, besides deen? أَفَغَيْرَ دِينِ اللَّهِ يَبْغُونَ. When in actual fact, وَلَهُ أَسْلَمَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Everything that is in the heavens and the earth have submitted to Allah Ta'ala. So, O insan, you are supposed to be the most intelligent. How come you looking for another way? What is this way? It is submission. Islam, submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala. That. And all have submitted taw'an wa karhan. Whether they have voluntarily or involuntarily. But the whole creation of Allah, besides insan and jinnat, they have been given a choice. The rest of the creation have submitted to Allah Ta'ala. And they accept the commands of Allah Ta'ala voluntarily or involuntarily. So how is it, insan, that the creation that we say that haven't got brains, they've submitted to Allah. The mountains haven't got brains, but as Allah has put them, they are in that position all the time. The trees are in a standing position. And ulama, hukama have written that our postures of salah, for example, the standing posture, the trees are all the time in salat, in this one posture. If the imam has to take little longer, we will complain. Today you read too much, too long qiraat you made. Or in taraweeh, if the imam reads long, we will complain. But the trees, their whole lives, they are in the standing position. Then all four-legged animals, they are in a position of ruku all the time. Their whole lives they are in ruku. How long can we stay in ruku? Then in a sitting position, the mountains are in a sitting position of salat all the time. They have accepted Allah's command. And they are all the time in this position. And then in sajda, all those animals that crawl on the earth, they are all the time in a sajda position. So all the creation of Allah is submitted to Allah. Oh insan, how come you are not submitting? Those are without brains and they submitting to Allah. You've got brains. You should be submitting even more. But why don't you submit to the will of Allah Ta'ala? And not only that, wa ilayhi yurja'un. And finally, all of you going to be returned to Allah. There is nowhere else we're going to go. Whenever any one of us dies, we're returning to Allah Ta'ala. Which means we have to account for all our deeds, for our whole life. And that is also, even if for any other reason, but when we know we have to return, any person is frightened. When I return back to my boss, I have to account. My child, when I come home, my father is going to ask me, where were you? How much money I gave you? What did you spend? Where did you spend it? We have to account for it. So that also makes a person think and he gets prepared for it. We are all going to return to Allah. So how much are we prepared for that returning to Allah Ta'ala? And in the other ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna deena inna Allahi al-Islam." The only religion, the only way of Allah, way of life by Allah, which is accepted, is the way of Islam, submission to the will of Allah Ta'ala. In the other ayat, Allah says, "Wamay yabtaghi ghayra al-Islami deenan." And whoever chooses any other way besides Islam as your deen. Yeah, Allah has made, there is a great connection. That is what I want to show. Between Islam and deen. Islam, we know it as a religion. But deen, Allah says, any way of life besides Islam. Not any religion besides Islam. Any way of life besides Islam. Anyone who will choose that, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ it won't be accepted from him. وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ and in the akhirah, in the year after, he will be amongst the big losers if his way of life was not Islam. That was the translation of these ayat. The talk I will start off with. The first hadith of Mishkat Sharif, which is Mishkatul Masabih, which is a kitab on the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very, very authentic kitab. The first hadith in it is famously known as Hadith of Jibreel. Just little bit, let us discuss that. On one occasion, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked three questions. There is great detail and ulama have discussed this very much and great, great benefits. But certain aspects which I want to discuss now at this time. First question he asked, Mal Iman, what is Iman? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what we believe in Iman, oneness of Allah, Amantu billahi, wa malaikatihi, the angels, wa kutubihi, all the books which Allah has revealed, the heavenly scriptures, wa rusulihi, all the anbiya alayhimus salam, all the rasuls, all the things of Iman. And Iman, where is Iman? It is in the heart. I can't see your iman, you can't see my iman. I can hide and say I'm a Muslim, but there may be something else in my heart. Allah knows, that is hidden. Every person's iman is hidden. Then the second question Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked, and that was to teach deen and the whole of deen to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. So the second question he asked, Mal Islam, what is Islam? So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasalam explained, that Islam is the manifestation of that which is in the heart. That is, you say with your tongue, you give the shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the shahada. And you perform your salah, you fast, you make your hajj, you give your zakat. These are all the outward signs by which we recognize a person is a Muslim. So one was Iman, which is hidden in the heart, Islam, which is out, which you can see this person is a Muslim by his outward lifestyle, his action. Then he asked the third question, Mal Ihsan. And what is Ihsan? In simple language, in our times, Ihsan is what we call Tasawwuf, Tazkiyah Nafs, the final, the polishing, the reaching to Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to this question and said, that a person develops his inner conscience to this extent, and تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهِ that you worship Allah in such a way as though you are seeing Allah is in front of you. And if you can't reach that level, then at least this level, that أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهِ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ If you are not reaching, you haven't reached that level as though you're seeing Allah in front of you, then at least you must be at that level that Allah is watching you, that you know Allah is watching me. And that is what is called ihsan, that is what is called husn, the beauty of Islam. Like a person you employ to work. If you, the boss is not around, we know what kind of work he does. But when the boss is there, like if he knows my boss is watching me, like from a camera. The boss is not present, but he knows the camera is on. He can't see his boss, but he knows his boss is there. His work will be different. And if he knows, if he can see his boss with his eyes, actually he sees his boss, his work will be different. So exactly like that, a person's ibadat, in that level we reach that Allah is watching me. And if we can reach the higher level as though we are seeing Allah present there, our ibadat will be different completely. And what we call ibadat, which we normally refer to as our salat, etc., and that is a practicing place that our whole life must come like that. The 24 hours we realize Allah is in front of me. We realize that Allah is watching me. That consciousness comes. To understand this, one time, one sheikh in his khanqa, with his murids, he told them, I want each one of you to go and slaughter a fowl, but in such a place where nobody sees you slaughtering the fowl. So they all went and they came back with the slaughtered fowl, wherever they found a place where nobody was watching. One murid came back with the live fowl. So he told him, you didn't slaughter? He said, I didn't find a place where nobody was watching. He said, how come? He says that, wherever I went, I saw Allah is watching me. So he was testing his murid that who had reached that level that you realize that Allah is watching you. So he says, everywhere I went, Allah was watching me. So that consciousness. Or to understand it in another way, another example, one father, he was a crook by trade. His work was to steal. So he was teaching his trade and his profession to his son also. So he took his son along to go and steal. And he told his son, you must stand at a distance, and if you see anyone is coming, anyone is watching us, you must shout, you must make a sign to me. Whistle, whatever some sign you must make. So the father hardly started stealing, and the son whistled or whatever sign. So the father, at that time, you don't ask questions, he started running, because what he thought, police, people are around, if they catch me, there'll be big trouble. So he ran for a long distance. And the son was with him, so he asked him, who was there, who was watching? I didn't see anyone, nobody chased us, nobody gave chase, nobody wanted to catch us, who was it? So he says, Allah was watching. So when that consciousness comes, that Allah is watching, then see, a person's whole life changes. For him to speak a lie, for him to look at a strange woman with bad intentions, for him to talk to another woman, anything, for him to get angry in his house on his wife, to shout her, to beat her up, to abuse her, he can't do it. My Allah is watching me. Then a person normally says, I get very angry, and when I'm angry, I don't know what I'm doing. But your anger is very sly and very shrewd also. It only comes out on a weaker person. For example, our sheikh gives this beautiful example. One person is very angry on his wife, and he says, today I'm going to make mincemeat out of you. Nothing will be left out of you. And he's angry. Why? Suddenly there's a knock on the door. When he peeps out to see who's it, he sees it's his two brothers-in-law. And both of them are in the military. And they've come with their guns also. Now suddenly, where does his anger go? And he goes and tells his wife, you know, just forget everything, you know. We're staying so happily, I just got little cross, just forget it. Why? Because the two brothers-in-law are there. And both of them are with their guns also. Now, where the anger gone? So, it only comes out on the weaker person. And the minute the stronger person comes, you forget about it. One time, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very angry on one of his slaves. And he was reprimanding him. So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came around and witnessed the scene. So he says, anger and siddiq, these two don't go together. And as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this to me, he set him free. immediately. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you are doing, remember Allah is watching you. When we know Allah is watching us, can we become like that angry with our wives and how we start swearing and we start hitting and we abuse them? Can that be a Muslim's life in any way? But when we don't know, we are unmindful of Allah's presence, then we do what we want to. We think we are our small gods and we can do what we want to, and I'll show you, I'm such a big man and I got this power and I got contacts and all that. We forget who is on top, who is watching us all the time. So this is what is ihsan, what is called tasawwuf in these days. The object of making zikrullah, repeating Allah's name, is for the same thing. For example, many places Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّ, and remember the name of your Rabb. And the zikr in the tafsir, Sheikh Ahmad Sarhindi Rahmatullah Alayh, tafsir al-Mazhari, he writes that, وَذْكُرْ, repeat. What is this repetition? The tafsir of it, he says, it is just like the Sahaba Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Until today it hasn't changed. Our little children who become hafiz, like when they want to learn the ayat of the Quran, what do? They repeat it over and over. Like for example, the child wants to learn Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. So what he says, Sabbihisma, 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 Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la, Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la, Sabbihisma Rabbikal A'la. He repeats it, he knows it. Now, then he lands the next ayat, joins this ayat with that ayat, repeats again. The more you repeat it, the more you know your door, and the more you know your Quran. So then also, like when we were becoming hafiz in Miyasam, by Hafiz Abdul Rahman Miyasab, then in Ramzan, when we had to make Taraweeh, sometimes when we used to make mistakes, he used to punish us, he used to reprimand us. And we should say we got excited. So he says, if you got excited, then why didn't you make a mistake in Alhamdul Sharif? If you were excited, it means in Alhamdul also you should make a mistake. But it's not. Why? You still don't know your sabak so well. That's why you made a mistake here. Like when a child is becoming hafiz, he learns himself, he reads it, I know it. So let my friend hear. When Hamra was his friend, then he finds he's making mistakes now. So he realizes, he learns it more. Now Hamra was his friend, he knows it also. Then what he does, he goes by the ustad. By the ustad, he makes mistakes. What many children said, at night I knew my sabak, in the morning I go blank. Or when I hambrawa, when I read my sabak, my lesson to my friend, I know it. When I come my ustad, I forget it. It's not forgetting, you still don't know it properly. You have to know it so well that in Taraweeh, 10 hafiz are standing behind you. And they are like hawks, they're just looking to take out a mistake. And your legs are wobbling. But if you know it properly, you won't make a mistake. So we have to know Allah's name so well. And what is it? Like we have to repeat Allah's name, that whenever you get angry also, you remember Allah is there. When you are tempted to steal something, Allah is watching me. Whatever you want to do, somebody puts a gun to your head, you don't go blank. He may be having a blank gun, which is putting, but you don't go blank. Your mind goes to Allah. Hasbun Allah. Allah is sufficient. Ya Hafizu. Ya Hafizu. Ya Salam. Oh Allah, you are there. Bismillah. Immediately. You are driving in the car. Suddenly a car comes in front of you. The person overtook on a blind ride. And he's right in front of you. We go blank. We go off the road. Or we go into that car. But what we have to make Allah zikr so much at that time. Bismillah. Allah, you sufficient. And then see how Allah's protection comes. So we have to remember Allah. No matter what happens, suddenly something happens, your mind goes immediately, so much Allah. That is the object of zikr, that you remember Allah. Now those occasions will come seldom in our lives, where somebody puts a gun, may Allah let it never happen. Or that you face yourself, a car is coming directly in front of you. Or anything like that. But where are we tested on a daily basis? There is a pretty woman, or not even a pretty woman, any woman walking, now you are looking at her. How much of Allah's remembrance, that Allah says, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِي, cast your gazes low. Do we remember Allah at that time, or do we forget? Our Shaykh Damat Barakat says, once he went to India, and in the bus, right in front, an old man about 90 years was sitting. And there was some girl sitting, and this old man is gaping at her, not only with his eyes open, his mouth also open. the way he's looking at this girl. And the conductor is telling him, Babaji, ticket le lo, take your ticket. He's not hearing what the conductor is saying. He's lost, just looking with his eyes wide open, his mouth wide open. So a person completely forgets Allah Ta'ala. We have to remember Allah Ta'ala. When we are sitting in company, and the worst is outside the masjid, after namaz, after salat, then what? We are having our social discussions there. We start backbiting, and sometimes backbiting about the imam, about the person who made taraweeh, that how long he took, or how fast he made, or whatever else, and we forget Allah Ta'ala. Whenever there is ghaflat, we forget Allah, that is the time we fall in guna. We fall into a sin. So zikrullah has to be that we remember Allah all the time, that we don't forget Allah at any time. Anyway, this was a little bit more that I discussed on this point. That was not the main issue I want to discuss today. Again, just let us revise. What are the three things Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked? The first was about iman, and that is hidden in the heart. The second is about Islam, which is manifest, we can see from our outside lives. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam discussed what things are the five principles of iman. That you say verbally, I believe in Allah, you perform your namaz, fasting, zakat and hajj, which you all can see. And then he asked about ihsan, and that is the perfection and the beauty of a person's life. To understand that in another way, there are three things here. One was first scrubbing. You scrub your heart. That is, you correct your iman. You take out shirk. You take out kufr. You take out idol worship. You take out superstition. You take out bid'at, innovations. You take out hypocrisy and nifaq. All those things you take out from your heart. That is called iman. Believe in the oneness of Allah. All correct beliefs you put. That was iman. And then our Islam is the polishing. After scrubbing, the next step is you polish yourself. Now you've got your Islam. And ihsan is the shining. When you shine it, and when a thing has been scrubbed clean, it has been polished also, and now you shine it, every person loves that thing. How wonderful is it? So this way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us the complete cause. Many of us, we don't scrub our heart. There is superstition in our hearts. What were things people believe in? I don't know what are the superstitions here, but some places people believe, for example, if a cat runs across the road, definitely you're going to make an accident. Now what has the cat crossing the road got to do with your accident? The cat saw a mouse on this side, so it ran across the road, but where has the cat got the power by its running across the road, you're going to make an accident? Some people have the superstition that if a cat is meowing at night, in the morning definitely you're going to get news somebody passed away. Phone call will come or something. Now the poor cat is maybe giving birth, going through the pains of childbirth, kitten birth. And now we're thinking we're going to get the news. What funny superstition, and they are common throughout the world. And people are living in fear because of superstition. They own made up things and they are living in fear. This will happen. That sometimes we just find something lying outside our door. The wind blew it there and we find it like finished. Somebody has made jadu on us now. And or some jinn effect. And we just go in one whole turmoil now. Going to this amil, going to that person, going and reading wazifas and paying money and what aren't we doing? All the time it's absolutely nothing, superstition. Lot of superstition we are living in. So to remove all that, scrubbing that out. Then we do the polishing, bring Islam into our lives, our salat, our fasting, all those things. And then we bring ihsan, which is from husn, beauty. Bring the beauty, shine yourself also. One beautiful example, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haq Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, a great alim, a great wali of Allah is given. Says when you're drinking tea, take four lessons of drinking tea also. The first lesson, he says that this water with which we made the tea, first it was just plain clear water. And that water had no value. And both meanings are correct of that. That water, no value, everyone gives it free. Anyone wants water, you give it to him free of charge. And if somebody stops somebody, we say, what kind of a person? Why don't you give him water? Water you must give. Water is why you charge. And water is a thing so expensive, nobody can make one drop of water. Nobody can pay the price of one drop of water. and it's Allah's system that what is the most valuable, Allah makes it the cheapest. Air is the most valuable. No municipality can charge us for the amount of oxygen we're breathing in. Allah made it freely available, not only for insan, even for the animals. They're also breathing in. Water animals are getting. We pay a little bit for water, but that's not for water. It's for their work, their pipes and their bringing the water to our house. That's actually we are paying for. We can't pay for water. Nobody can pay for water. So water was first valueless. But when it mixed in the company of the tea leaves, it stayed for a while, for a few minutes on the hot stove, 2-3 minutes on the hot stove in the company of the tea leaves. Now it's no more water. Now you say bring the tea. You don't say bring the water now, you say call it tea now. The tea, what has happened? The color has changed also. It was white, now it has become black. And then the price has changed. Now you ask for a cup of tea, you're going to pay how much now? 5 rand, 6, 7 rand, whatever they're going to charge you. They're not going to give you a cup of tea free of charge. And then the third thing is the effect of it. You drink water, has a different effect on a person. And you drink tea, it has a different effect on a person. And the price, the color also has changed, the price also has changed, the effect also has changed. Why? Just it was in the company of the tea. But one condition is, it must be in the company of hot water. If you put the tea leaves in cold water, nothing is going to happen. The color won't change. It's just good, the color of the water will remain the same. It will be still water, it won't be tea. It must be hot water. So similarly, a person who becomes bay'at to his share must have a hot relationship. That means a close, he must have a living relationship. If he does, if it's a cold relationship, no contact with his sheikh, then the effect of the sheikh won't come. He must have a hot relationship, a living relationship. Like Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, a great alim also, arif billah, he says that if the wife, for example, is in Johannesburg and the husband is in Cape Town and they don't meet, it's a cold relationship. Can they expect children? How are they going to get children? Then the example of that is one person telling a very big sheikh for many years, make dua for me, I must get children. After some years, the sheikh told, but I'm making every day dua for you. What's wrong? How come you're not getting children? Then the other people around the sheikh who are in his service, who are looking after him and that, they said, sheikh, but he hasn't got married. So how can he get children? That was in those days. Today everything happens, even without marriage. But in those days, without marriage, no children also. So marriage, and then at least if that husband and wife who are living in Cape Town in Johannesburg, they even meet for 2 minutes. After 9 months, you can have hope that a child will be born. But if they don't meet at all, how are they going to have children? Similarly, if a person becomes bay'at with a sheikh and no contact with his sheikh, not even a telephone call, nothing at all, how can he hope to have spiritual benefit? To have then akhlaq, to have humbleness, to have sincerity, and the reality of these things, for that contact is necessary. So anyway, that was the second thing. The third thing, Maulana said, that this, now that tea has become black. And what is this? Like a person, many of us, we think, I'm all right. My religious life, my salat is in order, I'm a good Muslim. But when we become bay'at with the sheikh, and we stay with the sheikh, and we realize, oh, I got lot of weakness. I thought I got sincerity, I got no sincerity. I thought I got humbleness, but actually I've got so much of pride in me. I thought I'm regular at my salat, but my salat, I don't know even if it can be called salat. What kind of a salat am I performing? In fact, my wudu, I don't know if it's correct. Now we realize, actually I'm black, I'm not white what I was thinking. I've got lot of faults in me. Then the sheikh makes effort on his murid, and now when he starts coming right, now the milk is poured. Now he's becoming white. Now actually he's white. But still the work is not finished. That tea without the sugar, you just put it to your lips and you put it down again. What's wrong? No sugar. Now the sheikh will make that final effort, that beauty he will add. He will pour sugar in there. 1-2 teaspoons, everyone according to his taste. But still the work is not complete. That tea must be stirred also. And it can't be stirred with a straw. You need a nice steel teaspoon. And with that you'll get the sounds also coming. Like a panel beater taking out the dents from the car. He's knocking and taking out the dents. So the sheikh will take out the final dents also. Now that cup of tea, a nice hot cup of tea. nice and sweet and nice, full to the brim, everyone enjoys that cup of tea. And then you want such a cup of tea every day. So if we get these qualities in us, then see how the wife will love you, and how your children will love you, how your neighbors will respect and love you. Your boss wants you, this worker, I'll never let him go. If you are the worker, he'll say the boss. If you are the boss, there isn't a better boss. I'll never leave this job and go anywhere else. When we have those qualities. So for that, we have to go through this procedure. Then, otherwise today, the wife says, just leave me alone. Don't come back home also. I don't want to see your face also. Why? What are our qualities? That's why they don't want to see us. The husband doesn't want to see his wife. He wants to chase her out because we haven't purified ourselves. This whole process we haven't gone through. So may Allah let us give us this understanding, and this is an important thing. Just making our salat is not enough. Making a tilawat of the Quran Sharif is not enough. Our spiritual purification, cleansing our hearts, and then getting Islam, and then getting the beauty into our lives, that is absolutely essential. In fact, we see what the ladies, when they serve their food, in everything, and ladies moreover, when the salads, the vegetable salads they want to send, it's ready, the men want to take it, let's say, no, just wait a little bit. What they want to do? They want to put mint leaves on top. Till the final decoration is not done, they say, no, it can't go there. And the people there, the poor men, never even notice the mint leaves. They just take them off and throw them one side. But the women, till it's not complete, they are not happy. Anything they do, they want to put that final tip, that dressing. Hey, a woman, when she says, I won't be a minute, she's very truthful. Because she's not going to be a minute, she's going to be half an hour. Hey? So what she wants to do in that, you ready already, what's wrong, let us go, it's getting late, that we're going to miss the plane. No, just wait a minute. Hey? And what is that minute? She still has to do this and she has to do that. Everything, they want to be perfect in everything. One woman, every time when she goes with her husband, they hardly gone 1-2 kilometers. And she said, oh, I forgot the iron, it's left on at home. And they have to go back again. So like that, it happened a few times. So one time again, she told, because they want everything to be right. If the iron is left on, it's dangerous. So she told the husband, I left the iron on. So he stopped the car, he opened the boot of the car and he showed her the iron. It's here. It's not even plugged in, it's not even in house, it's not left on, it's here, it's safe. So the women are very particular, but they want everything perfect. So like that, perfection in our deen is also required. Eh? When we're doing the house, we finish build the house, you can live in the house, but we say, no, it's not complete. Why? But everything is done. Windows are in, doors are in. No, the painting is not done. But without painting, can't we live in the house? What's wrong? What's the difference going to be? But we say, no, it's not complete. I can't take occupation. The painting is done. Now we still don't want to go. Now what's your problem? The tiling is not finished. Can't you live in a house without tiling? But you want the tiling. And you want the tiling perfect. Little mistake, yeah, there. Little bit, something left out. Till this is not done, I'm not paying you the final payment. And I'm not accepting this. Everything is done. Now we still don't want to, why? Carpeting is not done. And then the wife will say, till the garden is not done, I'm also not moving into that house. So we want everything perfect. So in our deen, why don't we want perfection also? We're just making our salat, it's quite enough. No, bring perfection in everything. In our salat, in our whole deen. This is part of our responsibility, it's our duty to bring this perfection. As nobody is satisfied in dunya with things which are incomplete, but in deen, why are we satisfied? Also, we must bring completion. Anyway, what I'm trying to get at, now I'm trying to come onto that subject, hopefully, may Allah make it easy and I can explain myself. That was Hadith of Jibreel, what was in the beginning of Mishkat Sharif. That these three aspects of Islam, Iman, Islam, and Ihsan, the three aspects. Then further in Mishkat Sharif, in the same kitab, in Kitab al-Riqaq, we read a narration, a hadith, in which it is said that on the day of Qiyamah, Namaz, Salat will come and intercede for the person who made Namaz. It will make sifarish. It will say, Ya Allah, ana Salah. I am Namaz, I am Salah. What will it mean thereby? That in the world, inna Salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. that salat was the thing that prevented a person from committing sins. Any person who is regular with his salat will know that he gets saved from sins according to how much he's engaged in salat. Like for example, we made Maghrib. If a person knows, I have to make my Isha. Now you can't just go away anywhere and do what you want to. I have to make my Isha. I have to be there. So I can't you get saved from sin. A person who knows, I have to make my Fajr in the morning. He knows I must sleep early. I can't be watching TV till 1 o'clock, videos, be on the internet, and I won't be able to get up for Fajr. So a person who makes Salah will go and sleep early. So he's getting saved from sin. All the time, whoever is in Salah saves himself from a tremendous amount of sin. So anyway, Salat will say, Ya Allah, I am Salat. So as I saved him from sin in the dunya, I'm interceding on his behalf, save him from the fire of Jahannam, from the azab also. Allah Ta'ala will say, it comes in the hadith of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Salat, you are very good. I accept you. But your intercession, I'll see about it. Allah won't be accepting the intercession of Salat. Like that, all the other things will come. Fasting. Fasting will say, Ana Saum, I am fasting. And I kept him away from eating even halal food during the day. And I kept him away from his halal wife also during the day. And at night, I kept him awake. He was making Taraweeh. He was getting up for Suhur in the morning. And I kept him awake, all those things. Oh Allah, save him from the fire of Jahannam. Allah will say, Saum, fasting, puasa, you are very good. I accept you. But I'm still not accepting your intercession. Here is another point, ulama, right? That when we don't want to accept somebody's request, there is a way of rejecting it also. If somebody comes for a collection, somebody standing outside the masjid and you go, don't swear the person. Tell him, sorry, excuse me. Or a person comes to your house, to your shop and is asking for a collection. A beggar comes to your door. Don't be rude. Don't be harsh to that person. That is also one very important aspect that we learn here. On that, I'll say one little instance, and there is a lot of lesson for us to learn from this. One person married with his wife for many years, and there are so many lessons from here. We usually make honeymoon for 1 week, and after that, it is a fighting cock. The two just keep on fighting. All the love they want to make is they make it in 1 week, and after that they just start fighting. And now we have progressed, or rather gone backwards even more, that all the love we do before marriage. And after marriage, then we start fighting one way. The new trend, that all whatever love you want to do, you make it before marriage. After marriage, then you just start fighting. And you don't stop fighting until you don't give talaq. And as soon as you give talaq, now you want to become together again. Then you're going to Sheikh, and Sheikh sort out this matter. When Sheikh says, I can't do anything, you gave 3 talaq, it's finished. Then you say, what kind of a Sheikh, what kind of a Maulana? That we want to get together and they are breaking up our home. You broke the home. It is like you shot your wife, 3 bullets. And now you go to the doctor and you tell the doctor, please write a birth certificate. Is he going to write a death certificate or a birth certificate? You fired 3 shots into her. You killed her completely. She's dead. How must the doctor revive her? He's going to write a death certificate. And then you say, look at this doctor. I love my wife so much. He should write a birth certificate. That she becomes to me. How can he? So this is our nature. We make all the love before marriage. After marriage, we start fighting. And we give talaq. And as soon as we give talaq, then we want to start coming together again. So the correct way is that time to time, make love with your wife. Even if she's an old lady. Don't think only of the day when you married her, she had a figure like a Coca-Cola bottle. And after she bore you 4 or 5 children, now she looks like a 20-liter oil can. But how did she become like that? She's your children. She bore you those children. Now don't expect us still to be looking. When you just got married, then every morning different perfume. Afternoon different clothes and different perfume. At night you went and visit family and friends, different clothes and different perfume again. But now when she bore you 5, 6 children, now what? All the time, Zambok, Zambok, Iodine, Iodex.
Now you must forget that night in Paris and Jannatul Firdaus and all that perfumes. Now you're just going to smell menthol all the time. And you'll have to rub her back now all the time. And you have to rub her legs and her knees. Now she's an old lady. Those things are not going to remain now. So make love to your wife your whole life. Not only at the beginning. So this person, I was saying that story, he told his wife that tonight prepare some nice food, you dress up also, and if we are not doing this, do it regularly. Don't go out to go and eat at Nando's and Machacho's and all that. In your house prepare nice food. There you're going to spend 700-800 rand in your house. In 100 rand you'll have the best of food. And which your wife will prepare. There we don't know what kind of food you are getting. Once in Johannesburg, on one of the radio stations, they had a program in which they interviewed all the waiters, the people who serve food. So they asked one of the waiters a question. They said, there must be those customers who come and they like to show that I'm Mr. Man. I'm a big man and I got authority, and you bring this, bring that, don't do this. You want to show that you are somebody. So how you handle such people? So they said that what we do, we prepare the food in the kitchen at the back, we go to the toilet, and from the toilet pan we take water and we sprinkle it over that food. And then we go and give it to them. And they are enjoying it, and we have a big laugh what these people are eating. This is what is happening. Eh? And we go and eat out, we don't know what and what they are serving us there. What kind of food? One South African Airways, which is a leading airways in the world in many fields, in the catering, and they won how many prizes in catering? It wasn't anything hidden and that somebody doesn't know. There's a feces. Stool was found in their food. In South African Airways food. So all these people, eat your house food. What your wife has prepared, there can't be anything more better than that. She's a mu'mina, she's a believer. Even if she didn't read Bismillah, Allah is in her heart. If a Muslim man slaughters an animal, and he's an alcoholic, he's a drug addict, it will be halal. But a Muslim man who is a 5 times namazi, who has got taqwa in him, he slaughters. Isn't there any difference between the two animals? What a world of difference between the two. That food which is prepared by non-Muslim people in the catering places, and that food which is prepared by your wife, your daughter in the house, there is a world of difference. So anyway, he told the wife, prepare this food. She prepared everything. They just sat down to eat. And as they sat down, there was a beggar at the door. Give something in the name of Allah. Allah will give you barakat, as in Eastern countries they have a habit of begging. Give something, may Allah reward you. Allah keep you happy. This man got very angry. And he went to the door and he gave that beggar one slap. He says, my special night. What does he know it's your special night that you're going to have with your wife? We just sit down and you beggars come and spoil our night and spoil our time. Anyway, that beggar went away. He gave him a slap and he went away. But this wasn't just finished yet. But Allah, it started now. Allah became unhappy that you treated one of my bandas, a poor beggar. You treated him so rudely and so badly. This man was a very wealthy man, 10, 12 shops he had. Lot of sources of income. Allah was unhappy. One shop of his closed, another shop closed. Finally, it came to the stage, he couldn't look after his wife. And he told her, I have to give you talaq now, it's my responsibility as a husband to look after you. But sorry, I can't look after you, you take your freedom, I can't support you anymore. They got separated. After some time, she got married again. And after some time, that new husband of hers told her that let us have one night, you dress up for me, we have a special night, you cook nice food. They just sat down, and again a beggar at the door. Give something in the name of Allah. Allah give you barakat. Allah reward you. This husband said, take this whole platter of food, all this food, the whole tray, go and give it to the beggar. When she went there, when she opened the door, she fell down, unconscious. She screamed and fell down. The food got all messed, everything. He ran, what happened? There was nobody there. The beggar ran away, that he'll be charged with something, with murder or whatever, what happened there. So afterwards she came around again. So he asked her, what happened? She said, doesn't matter, just forget it. He insisted, no, you must tell me what happened. Did he interfere with you? What did he do? Why you screamed and what happened? She said, actually, I was previously married to another man. And one night he also told me to prepare food like this. And we were having this and a beggar came to the door. And when he went, he slapped that beggar and chased him away. And today, when I went, it was my previous husband. Today he's a beggar. A man who was in charge, who had 10, 12 shops. But he now became a beggar. When I saw him, I got a shock and I screamed. So this new husband, her second husband, said that first beggar was me. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Those are the days, Allah says, we turn around amongst people. And it isn't something very strange. In our country, what was the white man's position 15 years ago, 20? And today, how Allah has changed the tables. How on the plate, the whole what infrastructure of the country, how the black man was treated in this country, how Allah turned it around and gave it to them on the plate. So it is in Allah's control. And there are many instances. So we might think somewhere, that what I was saying, you want to refuse something, you don't want to give him money, you don't want to help him out, you can't give the person a lift, don't get angry, don't disgrace, don't humiliate the person. In a suitable, polite way, help him if you can. If you can't, excuse me, I'm sorry. Go, somebody else will help you, try somewhere else, but don't be rude to any person. This is very dangerous. Even to our wives, even to our workers, our servants, don't be rude. Akhlaq, this is one thing we have to learn. Many people, they're making tahajjud, they're fasting Monday, Thursdays, nafil rozas, but akhlaq are lost. This is very important that we have to rectify this. So anyway, in that hadith I was explaining that salat will come and intercede, fasting will come, like that zakat will come, sadaqah will come, hajj will come, all. Allah will say, you are very good. But Allah won't be accepting their intercession. And yeah, I was showing that how Allah is rejecting in a very polite way. Allah is not accepting their intercession. Then finally, Islam will come. And Islam will intercede. So yeah, what I'm trying to show, that in the hadith of Jibreel, what was Islam? Our salat, our fasting, our zakat, our hajj. In this hadith, what is shown? That Islam and zakat and hajj and all that are separate. That Islam is a separate thing. That fasting will come, Allah will say, sorry, you are very good, but I'm not accepting your intercession as yet. Salat will come, you are very good, but I'm still not accepting your intercession. Islam will come, Allah will say, yes, yes, on you I've made my decision. You are very good, and on you I will accept all the other. I will accept salat also, I will accept fasting also, I will accept zakat also. So what my talk really is today, that we realize that our salat, our fasting, all that in its place, but our Islam must be also in order. That our submission to Allah. We are living in a Western society, and the West has made this effort in the whole world, that what are they putting in our minds, that what is religion? Deen is not religion. The correct translation of deen is not religion. We all translate deen as religion. But what they deen, what is religion according to them? In your life, you are a father, that's one section, you're the father of your children. You're a husband, you're the husband of your wife, you have to look after. You're a businessman, you have to see to your business. You're a human being, you need rest also, you need a house, that's one section of your life. You socialize, you have your friends, etc. You're a sportsman, that is one section of your life. And your religion, that's also one section of your life. It's not your whole life according to the West. It's one section of your life. That everything else has got a place in your life, religion has also got a place. So for example, if there is a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Hindu going in a car, when it's time for prayer, the Muslim will go to the masjid. The Christian will go to the church. The Jew will go to the synagogue. And the Hindu will go to the temple. That's your religion. But all other things, you're going fishing. We're fishing, we're together. Our life is the same. You are doing business. Your business, your life is the same. But when it comes to religion, we are separate. That is the Western way of thinking and what they have put in our mind. And what is according to Islam, deen is a complete way of life. Your business must be done according to deen. Your domestic life with your family must be according to deen. If you're playing sports, according to deen, how much deen permits it, and what sports deen permits your religion, that you will do. Your friends is not something separate. You can go to the pub, you can go to the bar or something. Where deen, what it allows you to socialize. What type of friend, what type of things you can have to drink, tea, coffee, whatever, what deen has allowed. So deen is one thing. And religion, what is the proper translation of deen is your culture, your way of life. Like the West, what is their culture? Their culture, they must have alcohol, they must have wine, they must womanize, gamble, all their things are part of their culture. A young boy must have a girlfriend, a young girl must have a boyfriend, that's their culture, they can't do without those things. And they permit it, the parents permit, my daughter must have a boyfriend, my son must have a girlfriend, and for them to go to the movies as boyfriend and girlfriend, no problem. And before marriage, they go out together, no problem. That's their culture, that's their way of life. But that's not our way of life. That's not our culture. Besides your salat and your fasting and your zakat, these things are also part of our religion. Your way of life, what is your way of life? In them, their dressing, there are no restrictions in dressing. You dress how you like, you have got your freedom. In Islam, you haven't got your freedom. You have to dress how Islam is prescribed. And there are levels also, those things which are faras in your dressing. And those things then which are to a lesser level, everything in your life, your dressing, you're according to Islam. So those are the two separate things. Perhaps it can become more clearer if it hasn't still, if we haven't understood still. Like for example, I want to give you a box of fruit. I want to send some fruit, best first grade fruit, apples and oranges and mangoes and grapes and whatever else. But, and I'm sending it to Sheikh or to Maulana, I'm sending it. But the box I use is Castle Lager box. And what will we say? A box is a box, but it's a different. I'm sending, the Sheikh will say, he's sending me so good fruit, but he's sending me in a Castle Lager box. He will feel offended. Why? Can't he send me under some other food box, a fruit box or anything else? Why in a Castle Lager box? There's no Castle Lager in it. But it is, the box is Castle Lager. You take offense to that. Or you send somebody, you have come from Hajj, from Umrah, you brought Zamzam from Makkah Sharif, and you brought Khajur, dates from Medina Sharif, and you send it to a pious person, to a Haji, a very pious person. And you wrap it up in what part of the newspaper? There were all the adverts, make me maaf for using this, but where all the escort agencies are. You use that paper and you're wrapping up Khajur of Medina, dates of Medina. And you are wrapping up Zamzam in that. And what you say, the wrapper doesn't matter. The inside things are important. It dates from Medina Sharif. And it's Zamzam from Makkah Sharif. But what is the wrapper? Oh, all that escort agencies. And all that filthy pictures on it. And all that adverts on it. You're sending it in there. Can it be acceptable? It's not acceptable. So we are sending Islam, we are sending the amal, the actions of Islam to Allah. Salat, fasting, but the wrapper is a Western way of life. It is their culture, our way of thinking, our way of life, our dressing, our lifestyle is all the Western way. That Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. Your way of life which is besides Islam, فَلَيْنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. I'm not going to accept. And in this hadith we see that even your salat, and even your fasting, and even your zakat is going to be dependent on your way of life. Your box which you have sent. If your box is Islamic, Allah is going to accept everything else. If your box is not Islamic, there is a great fear of rejection. And also with this, we should remember the starting of the day of Qiyamah, which is a day 50,000 years long. It's not a short time, 50,000. Yeah, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who left to the age of 120, he says himself that I got tired of living. How much must I live now? 120 years. He got tired of living. 120. And that day, 50,000 years. How many people, sometimes they become so ill, they have a problem, they say, I'd rather die is better. But death is in no one's hands besides Allah's hands. So healthy people are taken away, and sick people are living still. Those who are looking after the sick, they pass away. And the sick person is still living. Allah knows his work. That's a different subject. But 50,000 years. And the starting of this day will be so severe. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that people won't have clothes upon them. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, Oh Allah's Nabi, when people, how is it when no clothes and men and women are all together? Like in the mataf of Makkah Sharif. Men and women all are making tawaf together. And if a person doesn't have clothes on, how will it be? But Hazrat, what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That day will be so severe, nobody will even think of looking at another person. That great worry that will be on a person. Nobody will look at one another. Then people will wear clothes, etc. But the severity will start there. The severity will be so much, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who are the chosen servants of Allah Ta'ala, they will be also in a frantic stage. And people will go to them for help, for Adam alayhi salam. Help. Why? That just at least hisab kitab must start. Accountability must start. At least let that start off. That wouldn't be starting. And they will get so frustrated, they will go to every Nabi. Nabis will say, I can't do anything. Go to the next one. Go to the next one. Until Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will intercede. And then accountability will start. That will be the starting so severe. At the end, the last part of it will be Allah's rahmat will come so much that even shaitan will have hope that I'll also be forgiven today. So much of Allah's mercy will come at the end. But for 50,000 years to go through this, if we were right in order, right from the beginning, our wrapper was also right, our box was right, our amal will right at the beginning, we'll be gone to Jannah, while people will still be suffering here. And if our wrapper was not right, our lifestyle was not Islamic, our culture was not Islamic, we're going to have a problem. At the end, inshallah, our namaz is going to help us. It's not going to be wasted. Our fasting is going to help us. But we don't know where along the road of 50,000 years, when it's going to help us. And yes, sometimes we just have one pain at night, a toothache. And we know it's nothing so serious, just a toothache. But we can't wait for the morning, get to the dentist. If we got a friend, please do something now at night. Come and extract my tooth or whatsoever, see if he was a dentist. Please help me, I can't take this pain. One pain of the toothache and that year of 50,000 years, when the sun will be just above our heads. Yeah, if the temperatures go to 40 degrees, we don't know what's happening. We don't only take out our clothes, we have to take out our skins also. And at the bottom will be melting copper on that day. How are we going to take it? So let us try our best that our containers are also correct, proper good containers. If somebody gives you dates of Makkah Sharif and Zamzam, dates of Medina Sharif and Zamzam of Makkah, and his wrapper is also a wrapper of Medina Sharif, Medina Masjid and Nabawi, or the Haram Sharif, that is so beautiful, you accept it, you keep it as a token also, that picture. So many Muslims in the world today, alhamdulillah, are making their salat, keeping their fast, but our wrapper is a Western way of life, or the way of life of our forefathers, or an Eastern way of life, Hindu way of life, Eastern way of life, or the ways of our forefathers. No, the box and the wrapper must also be Islamic, Islamic culture, Islamic way of thinking. Just a few things, for example, I don't say we can reach to that, but just to keep it in our mind. Today, if I have to ask almost any person here, what's your date of birth? What will we give? The English date of birth. But who of us will be able to give the Islamic date of birth? And we might blame our parents. When I was born, how could I record my date? My parents didn't do it. Very easy. That's another great weakness. We like to shift responsibilities. None of us are prepared to take that I'm wrong. I've made a mistake. It's somebody else. When you got married, then you were fully matured. And then, why didn't you write your Islamic date? Who of us know the Islamic date when we got married? When your children were born, you know their Islamic date. So that is Islamic culture, way of life, to know our Islamic date. Today we all use, myself, Allah forgive us and guide us, that what day is it today? What will we say? Saturday. And all the days of the week, all the days, whether it is in the Urdu language also, in the English language also, Gujarati language also, the days of the week are all associated with idol worship. Like for example, Sunday. Sun was the day they used to worship the sun. Monday was the day they worshipped the moon. And without any reservation, we use it. In our dini matters, we use it. And we have got the best names, Yawmul Ahad, Yawmul Ithnain, Yawmul Sabt, Yawmul Jumu'ah. But who of us use our system? We opt for the non-Muslim system. Islamic dates. English dates, all of us know. So that Islamic culture, that Islamic way of life. We celebrate birthdays. That is not our culture. No birthday. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never celebrated his birthday. But today we make a big issue. Wedding anniversary. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never celebrated wedding anniversary. That's not our culture. That's a Western culture. They do all these things. But that way of life has become ours. Let us try slowly. Make a starting point. One thing. Even over a year, if we only change one thing in our life and try and bring Islamic culture. Present all our amal which we are doing, our salat, our fasting, but present it in the box of Islam also. And then it's going to be readily accepted. You've understood what I'm trying to say. This is that distinction I'm trying to make, which generally we are totally unmindful of. Then together with that, let me just add one more thing, which also commonly today is within us, that whether it's our young people, the women folk, even we, what's wrong with this? If a sheikh gives a bayan on dressing, what's wrong how I'm dressed? What's wrong with it? Show me in the Quran, where is it prohibited? Show me in the hadith, where is this haram? That you're making so much big issue about this thing. What's wrong with this? For that, let us understand, for example, husband and wife are married. And the husband perhaps will explain to the wife the first night or whatever, that I would like you to live like this, I would like you to dress like this, I would like you must respect my mother, you must look after my mother. One girl who got married in a family, so the father-in-law explained to the daughter-in-law, the beginning days of the marriage, see my daughter, we have got a certain way of life. And we don't want you to interfere in our way of life. How we live, how we cook, how we live in our house, you must adapt to that, you mustn't change. So the daughter-in-law said, yes, my father. She called him father now, he's not father-in-law, he's father. I won't change anything. My mother-in-law, my mother was cooking, she must carry on cooking. And my sister, the sister-in-law's sister, she was cleaning the house, she must carry on cleaning the house. Everyone, what they were doing, we won't change anything. In other words, I won't do a thing in the house. How it was running till today, we leave it like that. Just keep it that way. I won't change a thing in Yopal's house. So a person explains to his wife that I would like you to live like this, I would like you to live like that. But everyone knows, no constitution of a government, no constitution of a company can bring everything in. Even how many times court cases, and what the judges say, the law is silent on this matter. And according to the present law, they have to now try and devise. Or the interpretation here. Now they'll take it to the constitutional court for the interpretation of this law. Or to detail the law, where it was silent on this matter, now let the law speak on this matter. What is the verdict? So nobody can give a complete, not even in the Quran Sharif, not even in the Hadith Sharif, can we give a complete everything of your life. But how are you going to make a judgment? In the light of the Quran Sharif, in the light of the Hadith. The mizaj, the temperament, the way, you know your husband is like this, so what he's going to, for example, the husband will say, my wife, I don't want you to leave the house. Only with my permission, etc. So, well understood, that's quite understood. But a day happened, may Allah save us all, the wife is in the bath, perhaps without her clothes on, and a fire breaks out in the house. That day she's not going to say, now let me phone my husband and get permission. She will know, what does the husband, he's going to expect her to come, perhaps even without her clothes she'll have to run out of the house. To save her life, she'll have to do that. And she know my husband won't be upset with this. But ordinarily, will she do that? No. Many people say, what's wrong if you make salat without a kufiya, without a topi? What's wrong with that? And they'll try and prove it. Now, there are two things here. One is known as, how much time have we got? Achha. One is what is called hudud al-sharia, the limits of sharia. And one is mizaj al-sharia, the nature, the temperament of sharia. These are two separate things. Like for example, you are traveling, you are gone somewhere one day, and your kufiya flew out of the window. Now it's time for salat. Now you're not going to say, I haven't got my kufiya, so I can't make my namaz. And you're going to miss your faraz namaz. No, that day make your salat without your topi, without your kufiya, no problem. But now this is not that every time you come to the masjid also without your topi. The mizaj is you must have your topi. But that day something happened that now you had no topi. And you're not going to miss your namaz, you're going to perform it now without the topi. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he became Khalifatul Muslimin, and he made his first khutbah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were three stairs, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on the third step when he used to make his khutbah. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu came down one step on the second. When the people asked him, he said, Allah's Nabi, how can I sit where he sat? I can't sit there. So he came one step down. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa, he sat on the first step. The people asked him, he said, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, what a great man, how can I sit where he sat? So he sat on the first step. And both of them are the sons, are the fathers-in-law of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. When Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the Khalifa, the third Khalifa, he went up right on the first step again, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat. The people say, Usman, what have you done? And if he had not done that, and he should have gone one step down, today we should have to dig wells in our masjid. And today's imam is from one Friday before, on an electric motor, he should go down to this place for the next Friday. Where should today's imam be? So that is the mizaj of Shariat, respect and honor. But keep hudud also in mind. Now today, whatever is hudud, whatever are limits, we just want to apply it everywhere. That we made namaz in ihram without topi. We no topi, nobody have red kufya on. So all the time we come back here also no topi. No, it's different. Consider every situation how it is. So one is to understand the mizaj. Shariat about clothes. A lady wants to wear top and pants. It's covering a whole body. But was that the way? Was the mizaj of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha to dress like that? Did Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha dress like the non-believers of their time? Did they dress? Or did they have the specific dressing? In everything, I want to wear jeans, and I want to wear a t-shirt, and I become a billboard at the back. Advertising for, sometimes we don't realize, for some beer company we also. One time, when I was in Azadwal, I'm still there, but I used to go for Juma Namaz to Krukasdop town. And that was after the group areas, the people moved away. At that time, very few people were living there. For Juma, I should go there. People got shops there till now, for Juma people come. So I spoke about dressing on one Juma. After that, one person, very pious person, he has passed away, Allah grant him Jannah. He told me, next week, repeat your talk with more detail again. So I asked him why. He said, one Saturday afternoon, he came for Salat there, to the masjid. And because very few people, Saturday afternoon, people close their shops, are busy closing, they're going home to their different places, few Muslims. And who they made the imam was one person who had short sleeves, and he didn't wear the jubbas as they are hanging. Usually a person wears them. If his dressing is not right, he covers himself. And at the back of him, a naked woman's picture. And he's making imamat. So when we are not conscious of what we are wearing, this is what happens with us. For example, how many of us, this Nike, some people pronounce it Nike or Nike, or the sign of it, the tick of it. It's on our clothing. It's one person, a doctor, he every morning is coming now because it's winter, wearing those warm, it's got that Nike sign. And what is the Nike sign? Because we are unmindful, it is a Greek goddess, female goddess. Like a person, will he make his salah with the cross on his body, or at the back or in front? The cross, we know it is, it refers to Jesus, Isa al-Islam, and that he was crucified there, which is their wrong belief. How can we? Or the picture of some Hindu goddess. The picture of this Hindu, that gods they have got, that on our clothes. We won't. Nike is exactly the same. Whether it's written Nike or whether the tick is there. It's a female goddess of the Greeks. But today we don't think of it. It's in on our clothing. We are wearing all these things. So this Islamic culture. And the thing, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? View it in the light of the mizaj. Is Allah happy with me like this? That I'm dressing like a non-believer. Is Allah happy with me that I'm doing things how the Christians do, how the Nasara do, how the Yahud do? Is Allah happy with this? It's not just a matter of what's wrong. So two things mainly I wanted to, alhamdulillah, by Allah's fazal, quite a few bit of discussion we had on Quran, ayat and hadith. But what I wanted to show, that our Islam is our salat and fasting, and it is our way of life also. Try and bring in us what our salat which we are performing, an Islamic way of life, our dressing, our culture, our lifestyle, our home, our eating way. One way is eating like the non-believers, and one is the sunnah way of eating. Not only when we go to an ijtima or jalsa, all the time we should try and eat according to the sunnah. So there. And the other, a common question, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? There's a lot of wrong with it. Do it according to the temperament and the mizaj of the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope we have understood. And perhaps we have forgotten also. What was the sunnah we mentioned at the beginning? Ji, the dua when we leave home. Oh, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Well, we'll remember tomorrow morning, inshallah, and teach it to our family also. The easiest way to remember something, teach it to 10 people. So just tell 10 people this, and we will. And when you tell your children, there is no bigger sheikh than the children and the wife. When we'll tell them, they'll tell you, Abi, but you didn't read now. They are too sharp for us. That you're telling us to read, but you never read. And the wife is the other one. She'll never spare us. Sheikh will still have respect now. I can't tell Haji Sahib now. Don't tell him. I'll tell him some other time. But the wife won't spare you 1 minute. Immediately you're telling, giving me big lectures. Your lectures are coming out of my ears. But you yourself, you're not doing it. So go and tell them. They'll keep us on track. That is the easiest way to stay on track. Tell the family people. And many of us, we don't tell the family people, then we know, just keep quiet, and you also good, I'm also good, just let us do what we want to. But if you want to come right, the best way is tell the family people. They'll keep us properly on track. May Allah give us tawfiq. And I appreciate very much from the committee, the extra time they have allowed us. And also, always when we come here, the warm reception that we get, may Allah reward all each. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين اللهم آت النفوس تقواها وزكها فأنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد. Oh Allah, let us understand and realize the value of this great way of life of Islam that you have given to us. Oh Allah, let us realize we are a distinguished nation. And oh Allah, let us live according to that. Oh Allah, let us not be influenced by our environment, by the Nasara and the Yahud. Oh Allah, let us follow in the footsteps of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You be pleased with us in this dunya, and be pleased with us particularly in the qabr and on the day of Qiyamah, oh Allah. Oh Allah, guide us towards righteousness. Oh Allah, open our hearts to accept what is right, oh Allah, and shun all evil from our eyes, our ears, our mind, our hearts, O Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas sami'ul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.